The title of my message tonight is this: Today Could Be Your Day. Today could be your day. Have you ever noticed that God doesn't always do what you thought He was going to do when you thought He was going to do it? You have been expecting and believing that promise to come to pass in your timing and in your ways, but He shows up and does things His way. That missed opportunity that seemed so unfair at the time turned out to be the launching pad for a better career. That relationship which didn't work out and broke your heart released you to find and love and marry the partner of your dreams. That you experienced a disappointment that almost derailed you. But in that place, you met God in a new way. Your faith began to rise, and that very season propelled you forward towards a new chapter of your destiny. Oh, how great it is when God steps in with another plan, a new road, a new river, a new avenue, which was not on your map at the beginning of your journey. Oh, it can be frustrating sometimes when you had it all figured out, but God has come in and shaken up the plans, bringing you a new revelation of His word in Isaiah 55 that says His thoughts are above your thoughts and His ways are above your ways. That should you continue to trust Him with your whole heart, He will turn up with some surprises along the way that redefine and reshape the course of your life forever. Oh, where you are right now might not look quite as you thought it was going to look, but His plans for your life are still in progress. God has not finished with you yet. And some of you need to hear that tonight. God has not finished with you yet. So keep the faith, because today could be your day. Today could be your day. My nan is 81 years old, and she has a faith in God. She is loving, caring, one of the most generous people you will ever meet. All her life, she has put other people first, no matter what the situation. But one of her personal dreams was to visit America before her time on earth had slipped away. As a young girl, she met some American soldiers during World War II, and they were the first people to give her some chocolate. So she has fond memories of the Americans. From that time on, her dream was to always go to the USA. But as time passed and various issues arose, health, finance, family commitments, it looked like at 81 years old, her dream was never going to happen. However, in December 2016, she had the opportunity to travel with my parents to see my brother, who now lives in America, and spend a month there. She was so excited that she had all her bags packed 1 week before she was due to depart. Her whole life, she had been waiting for this moment. She had believed that this day would come. But the day got even better, because God had a greater plan. The day before they were to fly, the travel agents gave them a call and asked my parents and my nan to come in and have a chat. They sat them down and they all thought there was some sort of problem. And fearing the worst, they were stunned when the travel agent began to tell them that they had been upgraded from economy to business class for free. Now, I've been traveling on planes for the best part of 12 years. That's never happened to me. I need to spend more time with my nan. But they were stunned. But on arrival to the airport, they were treated like royalty from start to finish. They even took my nan into the cockpit and she got to meet the pilot. And she actually spoke to him for 30 minutes. My nan can talk, I'll tell you. She can talk. I didn't tell you that bit at the start. She's a real Cockney girl out of the East End of London. She could talk. But it was an unexpected blessing that God poured into her life that literally changed that journey. It changed that journey. Her experience was changed as the result of an unexpected blessing. Now, this is a small and perhaps somewhat trivial example of how an unexpected blessing can change a journey. And my assignment tonight is not necessarily to discuss about the scale of blessing or the size of breakthrough that you are believing God for, but I want to remind you tonight about God's element of surprise. And despite where you may end up or where you may find yourself, He is always in control. He is always in control. The God can change your game in a moment. He can change your game in a moment. The one shift is all you need from God to move you into the next dimension of your destiny. That God's plans for your life, this is what I want you to get, are better than what you think you can do yourself. I want to remind you that God loves it when you smile. He loves to make you smile. That is why it's important to keep believing, to keep petitioning heaven with your prayers. For it is God's nature to want to answer those prayers and bless you in the best way He sees fit. So I wonder tonight, what is it that you are believing God for? Inside this room, there are many unexpected blessings waiting to come to pass. They are on God's shelf of surprises, in transition, waiting to come into fruition into your life. You see, I don't know about you, but I love receiving an answer to my prayers. I love it when God steps into my life with an unexpected blessing that transforms my day, it transforms my week, it transforms the course of my life. How many of people in this place love to receive an unexpected blessing? I'm in the right place then. This is good. And so I want to talk to you from a passage in the Bible found in John chapter 5 that demonstrates this truth. When it comes to unexpected blessings, I'm going to read you 12 verses, so don't fall asleep on me, okay? But it goes here from verse 1. They're going to put it up on the big Bible behind me. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up. Turn to your neighbor and say, stir up. Turn to your least favorite neighbor and say, stir up. Gets you every time. Okay, come back. I'm still going here. It would stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I try to get in, someone else goes in ahead of me." Then Jesus said, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is a Sabbath, and the law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fella who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" It's a great story. It's a great account. And so here we have a man that has been carrying this infirmity for 38 years. But today he receives an unexpected blessing that was to transform his life. How did this happen? What part did he play? What can we learn about this account that brings the breakthrough you so desperately require God to do in your life? Unfortunately, there is no exact formula or routine to how God does things. God doesn't work like that. He will show up when he shows up. But there are some observations, some vital ingredients that can help you receive and embrace that unexpected blessing that could determine the next season in your life. And so the first thing I learn, or we can learn from this passage when it comes to receiving that unexpected blessing, is this. Number one, he positioned himself. He positioned himself. Despite this man being helpless and in need of healing, I am in awe of his determination to position himself in a place where breakthrough can happen. He knows that from time to time, the waters get stirred and a healing could take place. But if we're honest about this, it would have been an effort for him to get to that pool each day. It would have been exhausted and draining. Life for this man was so far from straightforward. But he knew that if he positioned himself in a place where things could happen, then something may change in his life. We read that he is there on his own. No one to help him into the pool. This man had limited opportunities and a real lack of support. No family, no friends. He's had this issue for so long that he has got used to dealing with it all by himself. He had no one to help him into the waters. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if that's how it worked for you and I today, that only the first person could get blessed? Only one person in this room could be blessed. That's unfair. That's unfair. Some of us have never been first in anything. Always last to be picked on the school football team. Always last to be on the invite list. Always last to get the memo. The last of your friends to fall in love. The last person to get married. The last person on your street to have a family. Some of us have never been first in anything. But you know what? If it was all about being first, we would be so consumed about ourselves that we would miss the needs that surround us in other people. This is not how Christ operates. He's not interested in that sort of thing. The only thing that requires first place in Christ's eyes is your priority in how you love him. That's first place. If you get that right, everything else falls into place. You're not running a race against anyone. I talked about that this morning. You're running for someone, and his name is Jesus, and you will always finish first in his eyes. Why? Because your name was engraved on his heart when he died for you at the cross of Calvary. So don't get caught up about what you don't have and where you currently are, but be grateful for what you do have and where God is now about to take you. I don't think some of you got that. Don't get caught up where you currently are and what you currently have. Learn to be grateful. Learn to be grateful for what you do have and where God is now about to take you. Some of you need a shift in your thinking, a repositioning of yourself in line with God's will for your life. Your breakthrough is coming, but you mustn't rush God's timing. He won't be rushed. You're never last in his eyes. Oh, it can feel like it sometimes. It can feel like everyone else is getting ahead of you, but you're never last. In God's eyes, you're his number one. He just has something better in store for you. Is this helping you tonight? You see, this man learned that lesson today. He was first to catch the eyesight of Jesus, but he played his part too. He positioned himself in a place where healing was expected. Do you know what Bethesda means? It means house of mercy, house of grace. Do you know you can compare that to a church? You can compare that place to a church, an environment where grace and mercy is expected. However, sometimes you can be in that place but still be disappointed. coming each week, but not getting your healing. 38 long, hard, difficult years is a long time to carry an issue. Day after day, week after week, year after year, he's been positioning himself in this place, expecting something to happen, but nothing has happened yet. Yet. You see, you may be physically okay tonight, but perhaps your heart is sick. You need a healing from broken relationship, depression, identity issues, healing from the past, and Sunday after Sunday, for week after week, month after month, year after year, you've been coming through the doors of church, expecting God to break that thing, expecting God to change that thing, expecting God to move in that situation, but nothing has happened yet. But I want to tell you tonight, don't run away from it, because this story in the Bible is here to remind us that sooner or later, Jesus is going to walk into your situation. And when he does, whatever you're believing for shall come to pass. Does anybody believe it in this place tonight? Friend, that is why it is important that you must stay planted. You must stay positioned in God's house. For the local church is the place where his grace and his goodness and his love flows in abundance. Church is an environment where miracles happen. Miracles happen. And I want to tell you tonight that it does not matter how long you have been in that dark place. Perhaps you've been going through 5 years of hell, 10 years of doubt, 20 years of insecurity, 40 years of sickness. Maybe you're dependent on drugs. Maybe you're dependent on alcohol. Perhaps like this man, all your family and all your friends have given up on you. But you must hear me tonight that Jesus Christ never gives up on you. He never gives up on you. This man's journey caught the eyesight of Jesus because his story mattered, and your story matters tonight. No matter how long you've been dealing with that problem for, no matter how long people have labeled you, no matter how long you've carried that emptiness or that grief, you might not see it getting better in your own strength, but Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you, and help is on the way. Help is on the way. 38 years is a long time. It's a long time to carry anything. But I want to encourage you today, you can reposition yourself. You can reposition yourself and start believing for that miracle to come into your life again. It can change. Your situation can change. You just need to get back to basics. Fix your eyes on Jesus, on the goodness of Christ. Do you know, getting on your knees in prayer is a position that will take you a long way in life. Opening up your Bible, allow his word, the word which is sharper than any double-edged sword, allow that word to penetrate your heart, to refresh your soul and renew your mind. Find some friends that bring the best out of you, that challenge you, that encourage you in your faith, that push you out of your comfort zone. Position yourself in those areas. If you can't find that time to pray, if you can't find time to read your Bible, if you can't find time to fellowship with other believers, then perhaps you are busier than God intended you to be. Position yourself in the will of God. Be obedient to his voice, and you won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. I was watching something on TV a few weeks ago about the SAS. I love these programs. My wife hates them. I love them. 20 people had signed up to take all the challenges required for this elite fighting force. And it was a competition that had various stages. And after several days and several exercises, there were now only 3 contestants in the final. And the final task was called the Lone Warrior. The Lone Warrior, and it consisted of carrying a 35 kg backpack 9 kilometers across mountainous terrain in 35 degree heat. All competitors were fairly evenly matched. They were each given a staggered start so they could do this on their own. However, the one who went first never finished the race. She never finished the race. They all had the same equipment. They had the same instructions. They had the same training. But what happened? What happened? What happens when you set out on a destination, but you find yourself lost? What happens when you realize other people are moving beyond you? What happens when you start asking God those questions? How have I ended up here? You see, when the lost competitor was picked up, exhausted, dehydrated, disorientated, they soon found out why she was in the position she was. And it had nothing to do with her ability or her lack of it. It had nothing to do with her gifting or her talent. It came down to one thing. One thing. She hadn't set her compass to the right coordinates. It was her positioning that saw her fail to reach her potential. Do you know what? Doing life without Jesus is like having a compass without a needle. We will walk aimlessly in circles, claiming we have never been here before because we have no guide to show us the way in how to move forward. Position yourself under the guidance of God. Let him be the captain of your ship, the pilot to your plane, the navigator of this great expedition we call life. Press into God again. He has so much for you. Do not allow negativity, poor choices, bad breaks stop you pursuing him and all that he has in store for you. Make a decision tonight to reposition yourself again. Set your compass each day in the morning to follow the Lord's word, to open the book of God. I can't promise you your journey will be easy, but I can tell you this. I can tell you this, God will carry you forward and he will take you where you need to be. Is anybody receiving it in church tonight? I've had 3 months off preaching, so I'm so excited tonight. But I've got a big year ahead of me, so I'm just warming up. The second key to receive your unexpected blessing is this, number two. After positioning himself, this man, he had a hope. He had a hope. You know, the daily positioning of this man demonstrates to us that he had hope. Even on the Sabbath day, when very little was supposed to be happening, guess where he was? He was there. He was there. He was supposed to be at home, resting up. But he goes out again, repositions himself again with an expectation that today could be his day. That today could be his day. It didn't happen yesterday. But it could happen today. Do you know, that is a hope-filled spirit. That's a hope-filled spirit. That's the demonstration of character that shows us how important it is not to give up on something or someone that means so much to you. This man was bound physically, but his levels of faith had no limits. It had no limits. Do you know, hope simply means this, an inner belief that things will turn out for the best. That your situation can turn around. That's what hope means. An inner belief that things can turn around, that things can get better. Do you know, hope is a powerful weapon. It's a powerful weapon that will keep you going in any valley. Hope is a tool that the enemy cannot use nor understand. Hope is the driving force that will drag you out of bed when you don't feel like getting up in the morning. Oh, people may rob you of your happiness. But don't let anyone steal your hope from you. They can rob you of your happiness, but don't let them steal you of your hope. When my brother and I were younger, he lives in America now, and he's a pastor in America. But when we were younger, most summer holidays, we would always involve a couple of days at the beach. And 1 year, our parents brought us a giant inflatable lobster. I mean, it was pretty cool. And we would go out in the exotic climate of the North Norfolk coastline. I mean, it was sizzling. It was hot. But it took about an hour for my dad to inflate this lobster due to its size. But once it was ready, we would have fun on that thing all day, cruising over the waves. But as much fun as it was, and my dad, or should I say, as big as it was and as fun as it was, my dad made his own addition to this lobster. He attached a rope to it and then securely fastened that to a girder on the shore. Let's call it the rope of hope. The rope of hope. For if we started to drift, or the wind picked up and the waves got larger, providing we stayed on that lobster or hung onto that rope, we knew whatever the circumstances, we would be okay. Our father would always tell us, just don't let go. Don't let go. Don't let go. If you hold on, you will be okay. For Lisa and I, holding on to hope was truly put to the test when we sadly lost our baby girl on April the 24th, 2015. We had journeyed through the 9 months and we were just a few days away from her planned arrival. It was a miracle pregnancy. We had just bought a new home, a family home. We had just decorated the nursery. Everything was set and we were ready to go. However, just days before her planned due date, we went to the hospital because there seemed to be some sort of problem. And when we thought we would be returning home with a baby, we came home with an empty car seat and a memory box. And sadly, that day, we lost our little girl. She was born without a blemish on her body, and her death went down as unexplained. Now, many days for that first year of our loss, it felt like there was a black storm cloud that was hovering above our heads. It just didn't seem to shift. Despite our own prayers and the prayers of others, there was a heaviness that weighed our spirit down, an unbearable pain that is hard to describe. We often wondered if this grief would ever subside. I mean, what do you do? What do you do when things don't work out? What do you do when something shows up in your life that you weren't expecting? What do you do when all hell is breaking loose, but there is no way out? You know, despite this crushing sense of loss, that even though we did not understand why this had happened, we knew early on that we had to still hold on to God. We had to hold on to Him. Our desire was to have a family. And although we now had no guarantee of what the future held, we did have an assurance of who held our future. Of who held our future. That the only way forward was to hold on to hope in Him, to grab a hold of that rope of hope. And as my dad said, just don't let go. Just don't let go. Oh, it hasn't been an easy journey. And it's one, if I'm really honest, Lisa and I are still on. We're still dealing with it, but we've taken comfort in the Word of God. We've taken comfort. I know that there were people in this church praying for us. We've taken comfort from that. But there's been some scriptures, one in particular, that was a real source of comfort to me. And that was found in Psalm 40, verse 31. And it said this, those whose hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Do you know what? When you soar, you don't necessarily have to move your wings. You lock them out and you glide. You glide. Listen to me. There were days when Lisa and I had no strength to move our wings, no strength to get out of our bed, no strength to even get up and think that I could preach again. But we had to lock out our wings and rely on the wind of God's love and God's mercy and God's grace. There were many days where we could not carry ourselves in our own strength, but had to be reliant on the breath of His Holy Spirit to carry us onwards and upwards towards the future that God has in store for us. Oh, when you decide to hold on to hope in Him. You begin to move in tune to the rhythms of His grace. It is then and only then where you can begin to pass through the turbulence. Oh, there is a feeling of freedom when you learn how to soar. When you learn how to soar, the more you fight against the current, the more you question why that happened, the more exhausted you become. Don't be too hard on yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Don't put yourself down. Stop trying to figure everything out. We had to come to a place where even though we did not understand why God would take us through this journey, we had to recognize that He was still in control, that He has a great future ahead of us, and that this tragedy will turn into a triumph, and that my daughter that I lost, her life will count. Her life will count. And I want to tell you tonight that we kept the faith. We held on to hope. We soared on His strength. And I can tell you on January 25th, just 7 weeks ago, Lisa and I gave birth to our second baby girl. Her name is Lila Hope Brendling. And it means this. Lila means beautiful in Arabic. Beautiful hope. Because that is what we've held on for the last 2 years. And so I can tell you this, if He can do it for me, then God can do it for you. Hope is critical if you're gonna move forward in life. If you have no hope, then you have no future. It's not always specific, it doesn't demand details, but it's something that you must hold on to. You must hold on to. Do not let your past destroy your present. The enemy will whisper to you, as he did to me on numerous occasions, and tell you that you can't make it. You can't beat that depression. Cancer's in the family. You're next. You will never pull through. We heard it before. You won't conceive, Luke and Lisa. You won't have a baby. You know, you can't break this addiction. Oh, how those whispers can sound so loud when you're in a place of no hope. But that is then you must rise in the morning and you need to speak back to those voices and tell them that your hope is anchored in Jesus Christ, and with Him, all things are possible. That today could be my day. Today could be my day. That your breakthrough is coming. Your breakthrough is coming. Don't give up too soon. Don't give up too soon. You might not have everything in place right now, but the Bible says this, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So whatever it is, whatever you're believing Him for, maybe it's a husband you're believing for, maybe it's a wife, maybe it's a family, maybe you need healing from an incurable disease, maybe you need an unexpected blessing in your business, in your finances, in your career, maybe your dream tonight needs an unexpected blessing to reignite it again. Whatever it is, hold on to the rope of hope, for I believe that there's breakthrough coming in this place this evening. When you begin to spread your wings, it is then when you will begin to soar, because my God can do immeasurably more than you can ever ask for or imagine. If you believe it, would you give God a hand of praise in this place right now? I promise you, I'm nearly finished. I could just preach all night. This man teaches us to position ourselves, to have a hope in our heart. But the third thing we learn from this is that he encountered the source. If you are going to receive that unexpected blessing in your life, then you need to have an encounter with the source. In verse 3 of this text, we read that here around this pool was where a great number of disabled people used to lie. This is not a holiday place. This is not a social club. This is there might be a little bit of sunshine, but there is very little laughter. The people that are congregating around this pool, are not here for a good time or to make friends. These people are stuck. These people are stuck. This was a holding place for those who were not yet dead, but were not living their life to the full either. They were stuck somewhere in between. They were making the best out of a bad situation, just waiting for the waters to stir so that they could be first into the pool and receive their miracle. the atmosphere there would have been numb. There would have been a nervousness in the air, an emptiness engulfing the environment. I don't think many people would have walked past this spot on their way to work. You went there because you were sick. You went there because it was your last chance. You went there because you were desperate. This is what this pool represented, a place of desperation. And for years, this man has been visiting this desperate place, let down time after time. You see, tradition goes that every now and then someone gets healed when the waters were stirred. And this is what this man built his expectancy on, tradition. He built his expectancy on tradition, a customary method that he had witnessed take place in the past. He'd built his expectations on a long-established way of thinking that brought about very little success. This man thought the stirring of the waters was the only way that he could receive his miracle, and had become so attached to that particular routine that he had no idea whose presence he was standing in when Jesus came and spoke to him. Because he asked, when Jesus asked him if he wanted to get well, the man said, "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool." He was so focused on tradition. He was so focused on the way he thought his miracle was going to happen that he missed who was standing in front of him. Friend, how we can become so fixed on how things were done in the past, or how we want things to be done, or how we expect God to move in your current situation, that we can forget that God is actually in your situation. That he has never left you. He has never forgotten about you. He has never forsaken you. We can be so occupied in how he moved in the past. We can be so attached to old methods, still reliving the good old days, that we miss him in the present moment. We miss him in the present moment. And we limit the potential of a miracle happening, because we've already planned in our own mind how that answer to prayer should take place. I think some of you know what I'm saying. I want to tell you this. Don't allow old expectations to cloud that which God is doing in you right now. God is up to something in your life. The waters are being stirred, and Jesus is stirring something in your heart. I believe it this evening. I want to call the band forward as I bring this to a close. I'm a preacher. You see, I have two endings. This is my last one. Don't watch the band. Watch me. No one wanted to be at the pool. Everyone who was there was broken, desperate and hurting. But Jesus walks into this situation. He isn't afraid to confront sickness. He isn't apprehensive about being in an unpopular place or in the midst of a dysfunctional environment. Jesus isn't bound to methods or tradition. You cannot put him in a box. Jesus does it the way he wants to do it. And to emphasize this, this is why the healing took place on the Sabbath. A day when very little was supposed to take place, let alone a miracle. But yet, Jesus breaks all the rules. Jesus breaks all protocol. Why? Because God is not bound to tradition or rules. He is not limited to man's way of thinking. He is the creator of the world, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. When he speaks, the very thing God speaks comes into existence. He is God all by himself. If we place boundaries based on our past experiences, then we will miss out on the present unexpected blessings God wants to pour into your life. Traditions won't heal you the same way going to church can't save you. But encountering Jesus in a personal way can change everything. It can change everything.